All right, tonight if you'll turn to Daniel chapter number 7. Daniel chapter number 7, we continue in our study here on the book of Daniel. And I want to leave where we were at last week. I'm going to come back and finish that thought that we had there. But tonight I wanted to take a look at the comparison between the two visions of Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. We had already begun taking a look at Daniel 7 last week, and there's some things more that I want to talk about that we carry over from last week. But tonight, let's take a look at the comparison of the two visions. You have a handout there that I've got for you. Hope that you appreciate that. I spent 2 days working on that handout to show you the comparison and show you some things that relate to these two visions. We are talking about the vision of the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream, and we said that's a view from an earthly perspective. And we said the difference between Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 is that Daniel 7, of course, was Daniel's vision of the beast, and it's a view from the heavenly perspective. So Daniel 2, a view from the earthly perspective. Daniel 7, a view from the heavenly perspective. Now, we said that this first vision of Daniel recorded here took place in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, which chronologically places it after Daniel chapter 4, but really between chapters 5 and 6 of when it actually happened. Now, in time, this vision came to Daniel in about 556 B.C. when Nabonidus, Belshazzar's father, was the king of Babylon. Now, Daniel's reason for placing it here was because the first 6 chapters, if you'll remember, we said was a history. They present a chronological account of the history of Babylon and the beginning of the Medo-Persian rule. And the following chapters 7 through 12, Daniel is specifically dealing with prophetic events that God revealed to him. Now, the subject of the vision here in Daniel 7 is the same as King Nebuchadnezzar's first dream in Daniel 2, and that is the time, the various empires that will reign during what's known as the time of the Gentiles. That's how I like to refer to it. The Bible does speak of the time of the Gentiles, but it's from the time of the Gentiles, which began in Babylon, from Daniel's day until after the tribulation period, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to put down the Gentile rule. And he rescues Israel from total destruction at the end of the tribulation period there, and he sets up his earthly rule and reign from Jerusalem. Now, there are some important differences between the two visions, as well as some additional information that's given in Daniel's vision here in chapter number 7. Now, I've given you this chart to kind of help you better understand what's revealed here and to kind of keep things where they need to be. In Daniel chapter number 2, the image was like a giant man with a golden head, and we knew that golden head was said to be Nebuchadnezzar or the Babylonian empire. Then we had the chest of silver, chest and arms of silver, I should say. And that chest and arms of silver would be the next empire, the one that took over there at the end of Belshazzar's rule. And that was when they were invaded by the Medo-Persians. And the Medo-Persian empire was the next empire. Then we have the belly and thighs of brass. And we had seen where that belly and thighs of brass corresponded with the Grecian Empire. And we saw the legs of iron and how that the legs of iron represented the Roman Empire and then the you had the feet of iron and clay, which there's a mixture there, and that is the end time form of the Roman Empire. We know that the influence from these empires are still around today, and especially the Roman Empire, our own country, we know is based out of the Roman Empire as far as our system of government and laws and a lot of things about us. We, of course, came out of the European countries. We came from Great Britain, England, and so we know that the influence of the Roman Empire was there. And that old kingdom, you can't help but have the influence still with us even today. And we see that the symbols of gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay refer to the political nature of these four kingdoms as seen from man's earthly perspective. In Daniel 7, God gives Daniel a more detailed vision which addresses the moral fiber of these nations, and you could even say the demonic power behind their rule. I mean, well, you see the rulers there, but there is the unseen world that the Apostle Paul talked about, which we saw in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We know that there is evil influence behind many of the leaders that are there, even though these leaders rule at the behest of God. God is sovereign. He determines who will rule and who will not. And we see that This vision of Daniel's is a view from the heavenly perspective. Now, let's take a look here at the breakdown of the beast. We see the first beast, a lion with eagle's wings. Now, the lion with eagle's wings, no doubt, is clearly the ancient Babylonian Empire. In Ezekiel 17, in verse number 3, Babylon is referred to as, and I quote, a great eagle with great wings, long-winged, full of feathers, which had diverse colors. Now look at Jeremiah chapter number 4. Book of Jeremiah chapter number 4. In Jeremiah's prophecy of the rule that was going to come, the invaders that were going to take over Judah, if they did not repent, God was going to send invaders. And of course, we know that those invaders were the those from Babylon, the Chaldeans, the Nebuchadnezzar and his forces were the ones that is spoken of here. But look at how they're described. Jeremiah 4, verse number 6 and 7. Says, set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. Notice verse 7. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make the land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. We know that that did take place. We know that when Nebuchadnezzar came, that he fulfilled that prophecy. The lion is symbolic for strength and might. And the eagle is the king of the air, and the lion is the king of the ground, or we call him the king of the beasts. And interesting note is that Solomon had 12 lions on either side of the steps leading to his throne, and that's we find that in 1 Kings chapter number 10 and verse number 20, and also in 2 Chronicles 9 and verse number 19. And we'll not turn there. But another interesting note is that statues of winged lions have been recovered from Babylon's ruins. Now, the statement that the first beast had its wings plucked and was made to walk as a man with a man's heart very clearly appears to be referring to the humbling of Nebuchadnezzar. Look there in Daniel chapter number 7 and look at verse number 4. So the first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. Now that word plucked means pulled off. In other words, this lofty one, this one that was full of pride, was abased. It says, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. So I think we can very clearly see the humbling of Nebuchadnezzar that we talked about when we were in Daniel chapter 4, verses 28-37. Now, as we look here in Daniel chapter number 7, we see the second beast, the bear, there in verse number 5. It says, and behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Now, the bear here is the next kingdom that followed, and we know it represents the Medo-Persian Empire. That was the next empire that came on the scene. And this kingdom was like the bear, which is known for its strength. It's known for its austerity and for its ferocity or cruelty. Now, normally a bear eats fruits and berries, but when hungry or given the opportunity, it'll eat flesh, ripping it apart and devouring it. And it will attack without mercy. Now, this picture here of it raising itself up on one side appears to refer to the Medo-Persian Empire being a combination of two nations. And the Persian side of the bear was the most powerful. And I've seen two different descriptions of what the three ribs in its mouth refer to. Some say that the three ribs refer to the conquest of three major enemies that the Medo-Persian Empire faced, and that was Babylon first, the area of Assyria second, and the area of Egypt next. And that's where what I hold to. There's some others that say that the three ribs refer to the three cities of power within the Medo-Persian Empire. And those three cities, Ecbatana, Borsippa, and Babylon itself, and they say that, you know, Cyrus the Great, who was the chief ruler or king of the empire, took these three cities from the Babylonians, and with the power gained by controlling those three cities, he was able to expand his empire, and he did so cruelly by brutally attacking and taking over other nations, devouring their people and resources. I don't know, we'll have to ask the Lord when we get there, but I believe that the three ribs in the mouth are Babylon, Assyria, and Egypt. Now, we see the third beast mentioned there as a leopard with four wings on its back and four heads. Now, what a beast. Now, this third beast, the leopard, which is a predator, refers to the Greek Empire with Alexander the Great as its head. And 12 years... We know that from 334 to 323 B.C., Alexander the Great subjugated by conquest or voluntary submission the entirety of the Persian Empire. Now, oftentimes when he would even go to an area, they would just give up. He didn't even have to put forth a fight. They heard what he had done in other conquests, and when he would come to town, they would just say, okay, we surrender. Now, we know that a leopard was smaller than the great lumbering cruel bear, but the Greeks were known for their swiftness and mobility in warfare. And they quickly took over the Medo-Persian Empire. Now, when Alexander died a premature death, his generals divided the empire into four primary kingdoms, and I believe that's the four heads that we see. I believe the four wings were these generals that he relied greatly upon to take over. They were the strength, four wings, or the four generals under Alexander, who also became the four heads of a divided empire after his death. We know that Ptolemy took Egypt and nearby lands. Seleucus received Syria and Asia Minor and the conquered eastern nations. Lysimachus ruled Thrace and surrounding territories. And lastly, Cassander controlled Macedonian Greece. And I know I've probably butchered those names, but they are a part of history. And this alludes to the both the four wings and the four heads of the leopard. I believe that both of those refer to those four generals. Now, the fourth beast, the diverse beast, is the next beast on the scene. It is not described as a particular beast, except to say it was different from the others. However, it clearly refers to the Roman Empire, which historically followed the Greeks. In Revelation chapter number 13, why don't you turn to Revelation 13 with me, and let's take a look how John refers to this beast and that he sees. In Revelation 13, verse number 1 and 2, and we see, it says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw," notice this, "was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." So here John refers to this beast as being like a leopard with bear's feet and a lion's mouth. Now, I believe the Roman Empire was a combination of the three previous beasts that we see, the lion, the bear, and the leopard. Now, we see that in addition to being a combination of the three previous empires, we know that the Roman Empire was much greater in power than the others. Now, the fourth beast, we see mutated. And has had ten horns. That's the next thing that we see in Daniel's vision. There was a change in that diverse beast. It changes or mutates or evolves, we could say. I don't really like that word evolves, but I'd rather refer to it as mutates. It changes. Now, notice Daniel 7 and verse number 7. And 8 says, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had ten horns. And I considered the horns, and there came up," there's where the it changes, "I considered the horns, behold, there came up among them another little horn, which, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things." So we see that ten horns arise in this beast, and then a little horn arises among the ten horns that plucks up three of the first ten horns. And this little horn has eyes like a man and a mouth that speaks great things. Now, we see that this is the end time Roman Empire. And notice how he described the general appearance first. You know, it's dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces, and it stamped the iron residue with feet. And then it says it had ten horns there in verse number 7. He saw as this fourth beast changed and had these ten horns. Horns are symbols of power and strength. And the ten horns are kings or areas of power, are those that are future to our time and that the Apostle John saw. Notice in Revelation 13 again, I should have had you hold there, and I want to take a look at Revelation 17 also. But look at Revelation 13 and notice further in verse number 3. And he said, I saw one of his heads that were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And notice verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and the power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So this change that takes place in the end times, it's going to be a devouring thing. It's going to be a very strong thing that happens. We see that, you know, these 10 horns, Daniel sees a smaller horn arise that he calls the little horn, and it takes control of 3 of the original 10 horns and then rises to power over them all. Now, in Daniel chapter 8, we're going to see in another vision that this beast is symbolized as a ram, which refers to it having power in its horns. But this little horn is represented as a person because it has eyes like the eyes of a man and the mouth which defies God. And the little horn comes to power by conquering and subduing 3 of the 10 horns, which would mean that he literally rules over the 3 horns that he overcomes. And then by his power, he also subjugates the 7 other horns. Now, historically, we know that the old Roman Empire ruled most of the known world and had its base in Italy and later in Egypt. So this would indicate that this little horn, who the scriptures identify as the Antichrist, will come to power in the 7-year tribulation and during Daniel's 70th week, which we'll take a look at when we get to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And he will rule over a union of nations who find their influence in that old Roman Empire. Now, Daniel sees this little horn, this Antichrist, leading this fourth beast and being destroyed by God. Only the little horn is destroyed initially. The nations he ruled and will remain for a time and are included in the kingdom period when Christ rules the earth in the millennium. Notice Revelation chapter number 17. Revelation chapter number 17. Let's take a look at verse number 3 and read some of the following verses here. It says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, notice having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones, pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. He goes on to describe this woman. And notice verse number 7, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And there it and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth, and there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, 1 is, and another is yet to come. When he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And they shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, we see next, we see the thrones cast down. On the back of your sheet there, we see the of course, in Nebuchadnezzar's vision, the stone that was cut without hands smote the image that was there on his feet and break it. Speaking of that last kingdom, that is a mutation of the Roman Empire, the old Roman Empire, is going to break that and becomes a great mountain and fill the whole earth. It really destroys the whole image. And really, it's the picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming back in power and great glory and overcoming his enemies and ruling and reigning on the earth. And we see in Daniel 7, we see the thrones of the beasts were cast down. The Ancient of Days sits on the throne and judges. Notice Daniel 7, verse number 9. It says, "And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire." And he says, "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened." So here we see in verse 9, Daniel sees these thrones as being cast down, which means being thrown down. And then he sees a vision of God, who he calls the Ancient of Days, which is a name for God. He sees the Ancient of Days sitting on his throne. And in Revelation 1:14, we know that John represents God in the same way. We have it here as having white hair like wool, white as snow. And in Revelation 1:14 says, quote, "His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire." Now, the throne was like a flame and had wheels burning with fire. And verse 10, we see that a fiery stream came from before God, and a million, that's what a thousand thousands is, came to him and ministered unto him, and also 100 million. If you multiply 10,000 times 10,000, then you get 100 million stood before him. And I believe the scene here is of the king who is sitting in judgment, and the books are opened. And we're going to have to kind of hold off there and come back and look at the rest of this the next time. And so we need to take time to pray for those on our prayer list. But we'll come back and take a look at how this represents the judgment of God, and look at some things with regard to the coming of the Lord and how it relates here. And we'll look at the interpretation of the vision. We see that Daniel, he's got a question, and of course most of his questions come with regard to this diverse beast, this last beast, and that's where he spends most of his time. And there's an angel that comes to him and gives him the interpretation, and of course we find out later that this angel is the angel Gabriel, who he was talking with. But he gives the interpretation, and we'll take a look at those the next time that we come and study the book of Daniel. All right, let's pray for our prayer list.